morning.
Good to see everybody's smiling face this morning. Now, if everybody would stand up and join us in our call to worship, surely the presence of the Lord.
Thank you for inviting us to this place of worship, O Lord. Thank you for being with us before we came, being here as we arrived, and going with us. But let us at this moment clear all of our thoughts and minds from all the things outside of this place, and let us concentrate solely and completely on worshiping you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 419, I Am Thine, O Lord. Let us remain standing and let us sing together.
Precious.
you remain standing and turn to page 880, which is actually the Nicene Creed. But ask that you would join us in this statement of faith that is traditional in our church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come again. Amen. We are in your world, O Lord. We have been born to this place. We have lived our years in this world. And we have watched it change from what it was when we first could remember to what it is today. One could argue that we have made progress, and one could argue that we have went backwards even with our progress. We walk in this place. We struggle because we lose loved ones to death. We struggle because we say goodbye and we wish we're only saying hello. We struggle because we know that at times we walk away from you, but you never walk away from us. You love us sometimes in spite of ourselves, and sometimes you love us even when we love ourselves too much. And yet you're always there. You always care, and you always give hope, and you always give to us your precious Son who died on the cross and rose again for us. And as we are in Lent, Let us walk this path, this journey towards Good Friday. Let us walk in a way that honors and glorifies you. And let us open our hearts in that journey. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with each of us and that as each of us have prayer requests on our hearts and in our soul, that you would heal those that need healing, that you would comfort those who need comforting, and that you would open us up if we are the ones that need the healing and the comfort. Let us be one together. And now, O Lord, if we have holy names that we would like to lift before you for prayer or praise, let us lift those names before you at this very moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd ask that you would stand and sing hymn 454, Open My Eyes That I Might See. You'll also find it on the screen, page 454. Let us pray together. The gift of giving. What a glorious gift God has given to us to be able to give back, both through our giving in church and our giving through the week. Let us give in a way that honors and glorifies you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord of all.
scripture reading. Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. We thank you, O Lord, for this day. We thank you for the grace that you give us in it. And we thank you for the power that comes from your word. Now bless us as we look at this scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So have any of y'all ever been manipulated? Y'all do know what manipulation is, right? You've been manipulated. Mary Lynn and I have a certain product that, since we're videoing, I'm going to leave their name out of the conversation or we'll get banned again from the thing, but we have a certain product. And we had a chance to get that product for free instead of paying for it. Well, I don't know about y'all, but free, paying, I'm going to almost always choose free. The problem is, I had to cancel the product that we had before to get it free. So I went online, you know, we do everything online, and they had a place at the top of their webpage that had this neat little thing that said cancel. Right? So I pushed cancel, and then it said, "Are you sure?" Okay, so I said, you think, well, yeah, so I put cancel. And then after I put cancel, it said, "Well, you have to speak to someone before you can be sure." Well, it wasn't actual voices, it was texting back and forth, what they call chatting live. Now, I don't know if that person on the other end is live or not, but it says chatting live, and so I go into the chat. Since I'm canceling, I didn't have to wait at all. They come and meet. That, but would you like to stay on if we offer it to you for $9.95 a month? And now they're manipulating now. So I said, no, free is still better than $9.95 a month. So then they came back and said, well, we can offer you twice the service that you're getting for free and what we've been giving for $6.95 a month. And I said, no, I'm happy with what I'm offered, and $6.95 is still more than free. Well, we highly understand that, so give me just a minute, and I'll take care of doing the canceling process. And so She was gone. I say her name was a female name, so I'm assuming it was a she, was gone. And she came back in about 5 minutes and said, "We're sorry to see you go, but you know, we can offer you triple of what you've been getting for $3.95 a month." So having been at this a while, I said, "Well, how long does that last?" "Well, for 12 months, but it'll go back to the original price if you don't contact us." And I said, "Well, you know, free is free. And it's that way until the end of time. Can you offer me three times the channels for free?" And she came back and said, "Well, it's been really nice talking to you. I appreciate the 45 minutes that we've been on the line together, which is how long it's been." And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that's 45 minutes of my life I am never going to get back. So finally, after 45 minutes, she canceled it. And then I got this note says, "You owe us $45 for cancellation." So I mailed them back and said, "No," the lady said, "the cancellation was free because I'd already paid for the month that was coming and I'm not getting it. So I'm already losing $30. So I will make sure and tell the credit card company that we had it run through that y'all already offered, it's fraud and they can deal with you. You can deal with them." So I sent a little note to the company and said, "Don't pay them anymore because," and the company I sent to said, "Don't worry. We've heard this before, they will not get paid." 45 minutes. And what was she trying to do? She was trying to manipulate me through a process of keeping her on line with them, keeping them paying them, even though it was only a little bit, because they didn't want to lose me because I'm such a valuable customer. They didn't want to lose me. Well, what was she trying to do? She was trying to keep me there. Why? Because, and I get this next part now, her job depends on what? Having paying customers. Well, see, there's manipulation of all kind of things. And I'm one of those folks that believe that we as a church are called to do certain things. Now, the problem is we have people in the world who tell us we're called to do things that the Bible never tells us we're called to do. Your mandate as a church is what? You ever thought about it? Mandate as a church, no matter what denomination you are, no matter who you are, no matter how you come at this, Jesus gave us two mandates. Now he wraps up the Ten Commandments and the two mandates, but he gives us two mandates, and y'all know them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes yourself needs to fast. Sometimes yourself needs to learn to cut back. Sometimes yourself needs to not spend as much money in places that don't really matter. Sometimes we need to allow ourselves to live on less. Now, I wonder how it goes when we're taking care of our neighbor and we say to them, "Well, we understand, but you need to live on less." Your neighbor as yourself. Well, the shrewd manager gets called into the boss's office and the boss says, "You're fired." And the part of this whole thing that I never have quite understood, but it's very interesting, he fires him, but he lets him go take care of the book before he lets him go. So I fired you as my accountant, but go straighten the books out before you leave. Well, he did. He took what was owed to the master, to the first person, and said, "Here's 100. Now here's what you're going to do. I'm going to ride in here. I'm going to use my magic eraser. And you're not going to owe 100 anymore, but you're now going to owe only 50. I invite y'all to go try that with your power bill. Erase it and say you only owe 50. So he erases it, changes it, only owe 50. He goes to the next guy, must not like the guy as much. Or he may not thought he'd get as much stuff from him later on. So he read 100, he only gave him down to 80. Isn't this great? Have y'all tried this with your power and water bill yet? Went down and said, I want to be a shrewd manager. I want to help you with this, so I want you to only make me pay half of what I owe. Now we do that with tithing, but that's another sermon. And so go through the process of this. He's been this very smart person because he's too weak to dig and he's too proud to beg. You ever hear it? Hear him? Too weak to dig, too proud to beg, but I'm smart enough, Mary Lynn, I'm smart enough to know how to cheat. I'm smart enough to know how to lie. I'm smart enough to, as you would, cook the books. We don't know anybody in our lifetime that's ever cheated, lied, or cooked the books. Amen? Really? Come on. You know what I'm... Amen? Now, what's the cool part of this? Number one, and I understand that we're in Scripture, so I got to be real careful to not be overstated here. But do you really let the person who's messed it up start out with go straighten it out after you fired them? And secondly, and this tells you a whole lot about the conversation that's going on between Jesus and the Pharisees and Sadducees, but again, we can't go there. We'd be here to 2 o'clock. He goes back to the one that's fired him. And what does the one who's fired him do for him being crooked, dishonest, and cheating? He praises him for it. Now, it doesn't say he gave him his job back, but he praises him for being shrewd and for manipulating and for being dishonest and for cheating and for lying and changing the books so that the people will like him enough to give him a place to stay after he's fired. What a deal! How do you think your bosses would go with that? Those of us who retired, you think our bosses would have went with that. Well, let me help you. I just want to cheat a little bit, but I'm telling you almost the truth. I always knew with me, every time I told almost the truth, I got in a whole lot of trouble. Now, remember, you're held by a standard. And I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but you have a definitive standard. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and your neighbor. It is your neighbor is yourself. It is a standard that I don't hold you by. Not my place. The standard you're held by is the one that's gave to you by Jesus himself. It's what you're supposed to do. How you're supposed to act. But then there's the caveat at the end. Love parables. I just absolutely love the parables. Because Jesus is speaking to a certain group, and almost always he's talking to somebody else while he's speaking to the other group. He's talking to the apostles and disciples, but he's really talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the high priest. The message is going to them. What do you think they crucified him for? Because he was talking to the apostles and disciples? No, they crucified him because he's really kind of letting them know. Well, so he's praised for being crooked, and he gets to the very end, and the scriptures, Jesus says to them, remember, the people of this world are better at being crooked, shrewd, dishonest than the people of the light, those of us who follow Jesus, because we're held to a standard that they're not held to. If they don't believe in Christ, that standard does not apply to them. So you got to watch out, because you have a standard that people will take advantage of you because of your standard. If you trust in God as your Lord and Savior, whether you like to think about it or not, we're held to certain standards. Somebody said to me about going to church, and why do you say we have to go to church? And I say, I don't. And I always get this look. What do you mean you don't? I said, I don't. Well, why do you go to church? I said, because Jesus did. Of all the people in the world that didn't need somebody to tell him about God, when the Sabbath rolled around, where did Jesus go? It's church. Every time you look up, where's he going? To church. Now, he gets in trouble at church, which is just the coolest thing in the world, but that's another sermon. But he goes to church. So the standard set by Jesus on the Sabbath for them, Saturday, on Sunday for us, as resurrection people, is to show up and worship. Why? Because Jesus did. Now, somebody said, well, that's not much of a reason. I'm just thinking, if Jesus did, it's a pretty good reason as far as I'm concerned. So you think about what we do. We get all these rules. Just out of curiosity, if you will raise your hand on this, I'd appreciate it. How many of y'all have ever actually held a United Methodist Book of Discipline in your hand? There's three over here. Now the next question is, how many of you have actually read it? Parts of it. You know, usually people read parts about the one they want to know something about, but parts of it. So we have, and the pages, number of pages changed over the years, but we have this book that gives us this is how we're supposed to act as Methodists. It's a lot of stuff. And while I think we need to pay attention to it and read it, because it is our set of rules, and I'm going to do that, let's be fair. If it ever tells me not to love the Lord, the God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, my neighbors, myself, I'm not paying attention to it anymore. Because the book overcomes that book every day of the week, because it ceases to meet the standard. So there's two questions to ask. You could do it with one, but I'm a preacher, so I have to have two. The first question is, are you better at being shrewd, or are you better at being people of the light? Can't be better at both. And then if you answer that question honestly, the second question comes to you and says, how do we handle, as people of the light, those who are trying to manipulate us to not follow the standard of God? Because you will be manipulated. You will be told that it's okay not to do some things, and it's okay to do some things. So I always, when I'm asked something, even when I make people just kind of mad at me because I pause, I always pause and ask myself the question, does this stop me from loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, and my neighbors, myself, or does it build into the relationship of those standards? The shrewd manager broke all of them. And the person over him praised him for it. Which leads to this. Always remember, just because you're being praised don't mean you're doing it right. It means you've met the standard of the person praising you. It doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. That's our walk. We walk in the path of trying to be children of the light. Jesus says it other ways. Salt of the earth. Don't have the light on the bushel basket. The salt and light of the world. He tries to give us different examples of it. But it's the same conversation. So are we, this is only individuals now, we only can answer for ourselves. Are we people who follow the manager that was shrewd's understanding of life, or are we people of the light? Your response is between you and God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're always manipulated, and we have been manipulated in church. We have been manipulated in our jobs. We have had it happen to us in our daily lives. We have had it happen to us wherever we go. It is part of who we are in life, and is part of living this life in this world. But if we're people that follow God, we will seek the standard of God and live by it. If on this day we know we have not lived by that standard, not even sought it, let us, with you, whether in our pews, at home, or in this altar, let us give ourselves back fully to the standard that God calls us to. May God bless us in that journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I saw the closing hymn, which is 377, "As Well With My Soul," and Mary Lynn and I, she picks out music in many cases before she sees the sermon title. When I saw this, I thought to myself, it is impossible, if you're a Christian, to have it be well with your soul and not seek out how God wants us to live. It's 377. Let us sing, and we're going to do all four verses of "It Is Well With My Soul." Let us stand and sing together. Friends, is it well with your soul? I ask you to go forth in peace after you came and had bites to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Let us enjoy our time together back there. Don't be in such a hurry. And let us spend time rejoicing in God. Now may let us go forth in peace. Let it be well with our soul. Let us listen to the words of Jesus when he tells us how to live. And let us try to live that way with all that we are. When we fail, let us ask forgiveness and move forward. And let us continue to seek the wellness of our soul. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.